Okay, we are talking. I'm gonna have to hold this thing like this. We're talking about the intro to The Wasteland, The Burial of the Dead. And we've just listened to T.S. himself read the first 20 lines or so. And one of the things that I guess we want to start with are the voices, or the voice here. You see how we start off with something that's almost like a dramatic monologue, but very quickly kind of breaks down, or kind of breaks the rules of the dramatic monologue. You're not really sure initially, is this Marie person speaking all these lines? When does she start and when does she stop? And we have these other voices that come in, starting with Summer surprise us coming over the Starnberger Sea, you know, kind of taking a trip, like the...
It sounded a lot like if you were going to travel and you were going to talk about your itinerary,
yeah.
It was more of an itinerary than a poem from the beginning.
Yeah, and, you know, just kind of the everyday things that you would do. You'd go into the Hofgarten, you know, the beer garden or the cafe garden, drink coffee and talk, and you overhear people talking about being Russian. Oh, are you Russian? No, I'm Lithuanian. Act, yeah. I'm Deutsch. Act Deutsch. Yeah, I'm German. So you can see some of the, you know, the varieties of European traditions, etc., coming together here, but also in this post-World War I world, just the mixing up of all the people. And there's the assumption, I think, that the Archduke refers to the pre-World War I period. Could be, you know, although, you know, it doesn't specify it, so it remains, but it's just kind of the mix up of these aristocrats and these wealthy folks after the war. And then she has this remembrance, Marie, and that's the first time she gets mentioned, is in the third person. By name. I was frightened. He said, Marie, hold on tight. And down we went. In the mountains, there you feel free. What's the irony or paradox in these lines? In this remembrance about the sledding?
Probably the same rush of adrenaline that we all get when we ride amusement park rides and stuff. You feel free, even though maybe you're strapped in tight, and you know that it's safe because there's something there that's keeping you safe. In this case, it's her cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you more of a sense of freedom than maybe what was going on politically at the time.
Yeah, you know, and she's remembering something about being scared. Excuse me. At the same time, now she's having this memory about being in the mountains and the freedom of the mountains compared to some form of feeling constricted nowadays. And then we bring it up in the present. I read much of the night and go south in winter. So it's a person that's, you know, doesn't seem to have much in the way of roots. And that brings us back to the beginning. Lilacs would be associated with either death or rebirth. And why would April be a cruel month, or the cruelest month?
Well, in some cases, because April, you're getting the sense that spring is coming and there's the hope for rebirth. But April also has a tendency to revert back to winter. It gets very cold sometimes, especially if we're talking in Europe. So you get that sense of hope that spring is here, but then it slaps you right back into winter.
Yeah. He says mixing memory and desire, and it's interesting, the poem moves from abstraction, just like the Preludes, mm-hmm. or Preludes does, to very specific detail, almost seamlessly. But memory and desire, you know, he or the voice or she is better off, and again, this is a kind of androgynous voice, is better off, you know, not feeling memory, not remembering, not feeling desire, but being kind of emotionally dead. It's almost like post-traumatic stress after the war. Although, you know, this person doesn't seem to have fought, you can see how the hopelessness and the tone of the war poetry has influenced this. You know, winter was great, you know, kept us warm, ironically, covering earth in forgetful snow, feeding a little life with dried tubers, dried potatoes. So you've got the change of seasons here, but the person almost wants to escape that change, that burial of the dead, that recycling of life. That is, this is more than just a war poem about the folly of war. It's about life itself and a quest for meaning and purpose in a seemingly meaningless world. And then we get almost a little sermon here.